Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and I'm here in the studio by myself today. Unfortunately, I couldn't round up the guys. Everybody's got something going on because we are actually preparing for a Bible prophecy series that will begin this Monday, the 28th, which is tomorrow, and that will begin at 7 o'clock on prophecyhope.com. But before we talk about that, I just wanted to say welcome to the program. We're glad you're here. We are going to listen to a sermon that I gave earlier in this year of 2020. And today is actually September the 27th of 2020. But I just wanted to take just a moment, first of all, to thank Ray Powers. Thank you, Ray, for giving us the opportunity to be able to broadcast here each week, each and every week on New Visions Radio. It's really a blessing to be able to do that. And it's really good to be a part of the New Visions Radio family. And you can find us here, friends, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here for Prophecies of Hope Bible Answers. And hopefully you've been tuning in, you've enjoyed some of the programs. If you have any questions that you'd like to send in, you can send, if you want to send me a question, you can send it to mark@prophecyhope.com. If you just want to send a general question, you can send it to office@prophecyhope.com. If you want to send our brother Rick a message, you can send that to rick@prophecyhope.com or ed@prophecyhope.com. And we've got a really busy week coming up. Each night this week, beginning tomorrow night, Monday, September 28th, 2020, you can tune in to prophecyhope.com. Look to the left and you'll see a button that says live stream. Well, if you tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and you click that live stream button, you will see a live Bible prophecy series where we'll be talking about topics like the Bible prophecy for today. The night number two will be entitled Intending to Change Times and Law. On September 30th, it'll be Who is the Antichrist? October 1st, the Bible 666 and the Mark of the Beast. October 2nd, is the United States in Bible prophecy? And then Saturday night, October 3rd, will be Will This World Actually End? I really hope you'll take the time to tune in, folks, because I think you'll get a blessing from the messages. And it's pretty interesting, especially the first night. It lays the foundation for the rest of the week. Another thing that we do is we live stream our worship service. Now, we meet on the Biblical Sabbath, which is Saturday, and every Saturday morning, beginning at 9:30, you can find us there with Sabbath School, where it's an actual Bible study where there's other people sitting around the table, and we open our Bibles where we study the Word of God only, and I think you'd find that interesting. And then we have a worship service that begins at 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And then on Wednesday nights, we have a open Bible study where people from the community come. It's just informal, and it's just hard to say what topics we'll cover. I mean, it's just really a great discussion. It's a great time to come. So if you're ever in Stanton, Virginia, and you come to 1743 West Beverly Street, this is where you will find the Prophecies of Hope Church. And I hope that you take the time, if you're ever in the area, if you're ever here on a Saturday or a Sabbath and you want to visit with us, please pop in. We'd love to see you, and we'd love to spend some time with you and get to know you a little bit. Also, we just wanted to say that each week, just as a reminder, we're right here, New Visions Radio, every week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we really hope you enjoy the program. Now, this next portion here, I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and then the sermon that you're going to hear is one that I gave earlier this year. Like I said earlier, it's called Taking Delight in God's Law. So before we begin a study, we always like to open with a word of prayer before we have any kind of Bible study, before we ever open God's Word. So let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this time that we can put aside, that we can tune in, that we can open your Word, the Bible, that we can listen to a message straight from your Word. Father, we thank you for every gift that you've given us. We thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to pay for our sins and to give us an opportunity to live for eternity, Father. So we just ask for your Spirit to be with us as we listen to this message. May people receive a blessing from hearing this. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, if you take a listen This is called, once again, it's called Taking Delight in God's Law. I hope you enjoy it.
A few weeks ago, I began a sermon on the 119th Psalm. And we got through about 16 verses. That was it. And I'm going to try to cover a few more today. And, you know, when talking about this, that particular sermon, if you missed it, it was entitled Seeking God with Your Whole Heart. So for those of you who are tuned in, if you want to kind of stitch these two together, you can go back and see that one, because we cover some details about the 119th Psalm that I'm not going to go into today. Just a couple of those things. I mentioned how there are 176 verses in the book of Psalm, or the chapter of 119th Psalm, and there are 22 alphabetic stanzas of 8 verses each. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of those stanzas begins with the letter of the alphabet. You'll notice that in your Bible. If you open to the 119th Psalm, you'll see that. Most Bibles have, it'll say Aleph right before the first verse, and it'll say Beth right before the ninth verse. And it just goes on through that, every 8 verses. And I mentioned that out of these 176 verses in the 119th Psalm, all but 2 of them refer in some way to the Word or the Law of Jehovah God. So that's 174 verses out of 176 refer in some way to the Word of God or the Law of God. And we know we have the written Word of God, but we know there's also the living Word of God, which is not just the written Word of God, but it's also the Son of God. So Jesus is the living Word. The Bible is the written Word, but the Bible is also considered the living Word. The Word of God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And this book all points to Christ Jesus. So it's really quite beautiful. Well, our theme today is taking delight in God's law. And it goes right along with the theme scripture that our brother Rick read right before we started this morning. And I invite you to turn with me, if you would, to the 119th Psalm, if you haven't already. And we're just going to continue reading here. We're just going to read from verse 17 and just talk about this a little bit as we go through. And, you know, here's the thing about the Bible. There's only one truth. There's only one truth. And I believe, for example, when we know that the dead are really dead, there's no variation of that. There's no, well, part of me lives and part of me dies as far as what happens at death. Okay? There's only one truth. But sometimes we may read a verse that you come at it from a different angle than I do. It might affect your life because your life experience is different from mine. It can affect you differently than it will affect me. So as I read through these things, some of the points that I point out are just things that have affected me in my life. They might not affect you in any way that way, and some may. But you might look at it and say, wow, you know, this particular verse affects me in a completely different way than it affected my brother Mark. So that's what's beautiful about God's Word. There are many facets. Even though there's one truth, it affects us each profoundly, differently. So let's take a look, beginning in verse 17. And this actually begins like a prayer here. In Psalm 119, verse 17, it says, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word." Hey, there's that word, word. Remember, we said that somewhere in each verse we're going to see this. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Wondrous things, not burdensome things. Most people, when they think of the law, they think of a burden. If I want to get somewhere in a hurry and I want to hurry up and get there, I don't want to keep the law. I don't want to do 70. I want to do 75 or 80. You see? But this says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." If I'm driving down the road and I'm keeping the speed limit and somebody zooms past me doing 80 miles an hour and they end up in an accident, well, if I was following them, that could have been me. So wondrous things come from observing the law. My life was preserved, perhaps. You see? So again, deal bountifully with your servant, that I may keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. Verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So the commandments are part of the law. They are the law. So some way or another, you're going to see this throughout. You're going to hear it over and over and over and over again. So it must be important to God that we know what this law is, that we understand it, not just that we see it, but that it become a part of who we are, a part of our character. And when it says, I am a stranger in the earth, keep in mind, God created this earth to be inhabited by perfect, righteous human beings that would have an eternal relationship with him. Face to face. But sin happened. And as a result of that, now we're as strangers in this earth until things are fixed. It's only temporary. It's only temporary. So let's pick up here in, I'm trying to find where I was. Let's see, stranger in the earth, verse 19. Here we go. And it says in verse 20, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Do you long for God's judgments? I guess it depends on what your lifestyle is like. I know there are times in my life, I'll tell you this, when I first learned the Sabbath truth, which June the 10th, the anniversary of, I'll just share this with you, the anniversary of the Prophecies of Hope Church. It was 5 years this just a couple of days ago, June the 10th, that was Wednesday, wasn't it? And this is Sabbath, today's the 13th. So June the 10th was the fifth anniversary of this church being gifted to the Prophecies of Hope ministry. We closed on it that day. June 10th is very significant to Rick because June 10th is when your youngest daughter was born, right? There's something else about June 10th, Mary. What was there? Something I was missing? Was that it? It was that. But the other thing was, I thought you had another.
The year that you were born, the year that Maggie was born.
Yes.
Was when you met.
That's right. Also, June 10th is a very significant day for me. You see, my wife and I were baptized into a denomination in May 11th of 1996. We both were baptized the same day. Well, just a month later, in June 10th of 1996, something profound happened to me. You see, I believed I had the truth. And I would tell people, I'm in the truth. I've got the truth. But on June 10th, a man named Claude walked into my business and we got into a Bible discussion. And for the first time, I read Exodus chapter 20 with my eyes opened. Instead of just reading words on a page, I saw what it actually said. And I came that day, June the 10th of 1996, on the day that Rick's daughter was born, on the day that this church was gifted to us, on that date in 1996, I recognized that I was not worshiping God according to His commandments, and that the Sabbath was true, and that the church I was in was wrong. So when it says here, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all time, my soul was breaking because I knew I had to keep his judgments. And it was an effort. It was difficult. But as time went on, just before the sermon, I mentioned what a blessing it is that we have the Sabbath. What a blessing. People that don't recognize it just don't understand. And I didn't understand. But you see, when our soul breaks with longing for the judgment of God at all times, it tells me that we must have a relationship. The psalmist had a relationship with the Father, probably beyond what we even can realize right now to the full measure, because we're so bombarded by the world. But we can have that same relationship because of what Christ does for us. Verse 21. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. I want to stop there for a moment. Daniel was someone who loved God. Daniel was someone who served God. The three Hebrews who were with him were serving God. These princes means, this word princes means leaders. It can mean world leaders. It can mean kings, even though the word princes is used there. They sit and speak against me. Weren't they spoken against? But they had comfort. They knew that even if that prince or that king were to try to destroy them, they had no worries. Because they know we worship the God of heaven. And even if you are right, we know the God of heaven will save us. It's a great place to be. Verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So if the testimonies or the law is my counselor, that means I'm going to listen to it. You know, we have a counselor that gives us counsel. The counsel is coming from God's word. When it says that your testimonies are my delight, that literally means they're enjoyable. They're pleasurable. Well, let me tell you, when I first started keeping the Sabbath, it was not pleasurable. Why is that? Because I didn't really know God the way I know him now. That's what it boils down to. I didn't have a relationship with him then like I do now. It's an ever-growing relationship. And it'll continue to do that. And it was an effort. You know, that the sun would go down on Friday night, and I was all in and I was ready. And especially in the summertime, because that's when I learned of it. And it was in the summertime that I decided I was going to start keeping it. So when the day drew on that Saturday afternoon, that Sabbath afternoon, and I'm looking around, I'm thinking, you know, I could really be doing this. I could be painting this. I was thinking about the things I could be doing selfishly instead of immersing myself into the Word of God and having a relationship with God. It's kind of like a guy that's sitting there watching TV and his wife's talking to him, but yeah, I hear you, yeah, whatever, yeah. That's what it's like. Put the remote down. Turn the TV off. And talk with your wife. You see, put the world away. Turn everything off and talk with your God. It's the same thing. How's the relationship work when you just hear blah, blah, blah in your ear and you're really not listening? It doesn't work very well. Most of those marriages end in disaster. It's all about relationship. Taking delight in God's law. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Wow, the psalmist was selfless. He's saying, help me to overcome who I am to become who you want me to be. Verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. You know, remove from me the way of lying. This world today is just filled with deceit and lies. I can't turn the news on and expect to get truth from any outlet. You don't know what to believe because one network says this, another network says that. They're diametrically opposed. Who do I believe? Somebody's lying. Maybe they're both lying. Maybe it's all false information. Turn it off. Immerse yourself in God's word. The world has nothing to offer, friends. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. You know, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, so if you have chosen the way of truth, you have life. Choose Christ, you have life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Father, right? Verse 31, cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. Does anybody have something other than the word cling there? Does it say cleave in the King James?
I have stuck unto thy testimony.
stuck unto. Have you ever been stuck in the mud? You ever been stuck somewhere? You ever felt like you were stuck? You know, I think of the word cleave, hang on to. I cling to your testimonies. Well, a lot of times when you think you're stuck, you think of a burden. But if I'm clinging to it, I want to be a part of it. Verse 32, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. You know, today when somebody has an enlarged heart, that's an illness. But if you fill yourself with the Word of God, you ever say, that guy has a huge heart. Well, today, if you said he's got an enlarged heart, he could be dying. But according to what this is, if you enlarge your heart, you're going to take in God's Word. You're going to have a heart that's big enough to accept and acknowledge that we need to love people. We need to treat them right. We may completely disagree. We have to tell them what's right and what's wrong. We can't accept them and say, oh, well, yeah, we accept you for who you are and I accept your sin. No, look, I love you because you're a human, but I have to reject the things that you're doing because they're against God's law. So let's not get confused in that area, because a lot of people take it way too far and say, well, you know, just it doesn't really matter who they are or what they do. It does matter. And if we hang around people all of the time who are doing things that are contrary to what God's will is, we can end up becoming that way if we make that a routine. Next, we see again kind of an example of prayer in verse 33. It says, teach me, O Jehovah, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Well, what does that mean? Well, hopefully each one here will live for eternity. So we'll keep it forever. Forever. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart, not just half-heartedly, but with my whole heart. You know, that brings to mind this verse here on the PowerPoint. If you take a look on the screen, the PowerPoint, Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, wait a minute. We said I should observe the commandments with my whole heart. If I read this text, it says my heart is deceitful. Is that contrary one to another? Well, it depends on who's in your heart. If I trust in my own heart, it's deceitful. You know, this word deceitful here in Jeremiah 17:9 means fraudulent, crooked, polluted. Isn't that how our hearts are without Christ in them? And then when it says desperately wicked, that's a phrase that's in Strong's. And Strong says this phrase desperately wicked means frail, feeble, incurable, sick, and woeful. Boy, that sounds like there's no hope whatsoever. And that's the problem. If we depend on ourselves, the heart is deceitful. This is who we really are. This is what sin has caused us to be. We have inherited this condition from Adam. It's been passed on to us. But don't give up hope. Remember what we read there in verse 34 of Psalm. It says, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. In other words, now we're inviting someone to come in. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. With my whole heart. Let's look at another text here on the PowerPoint. James 1:21-22. This kind of goes, I wanted to look at a New Testament verse that talked about this kind of thing. It says, therefore, on the PowerPoint, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Implanted where? Implanted in my heart, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if we just hear it, and we can regurgitate it, and we can say it, That doesn't mean that we're doing it. That doesn't mean that we're doing it. That's deceptive. I can deceive myself. Am I in the wrong verse? I see you're looking up there, Rick. Do I have the wrong verse there? James 1?
No, that's the right
one. Okay, you were scratching your head and looking at the screen like I was way off. I'm sorry. I was distracted by that. But so the point is that we can deceive ourselves, but if we have the Word of God implanted into our hearts, it'll remove that deception. If you become a doer of the Word, you're doing the things, not just saying them. You see, that was one of my problems. I got to the point to where I could defend the Sabbath. I could defend it to anyone at any time, and I was, but I wasn't keeping it. I was a hearer of the Word, deceiving myself, trying to tell others about it, but I wasn't a doer. See, so I had knowledge of it, but it wasn't here. It was here, but it wasn't here. It has to be in both places, in the mind and the heart. That's where it needs to be, the implanted Word. Notice what it says. Look at it again. James 1, 21. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word. Who is the Word? It's Christ. We want to receive Christ. He can save our souls. And then be doers of the things that He's motivating us to do, not just hearing it. You know, it's the difference between being convinced and convicted. I was convinced, but I wasn't convicted. I could defend it, I could talk about it, I could tell people about it, I could convince them. But I wasn't convicted. And what kind of a witness is that? It's not. Because if they look at me and they say, you know, that Mark Martin, he just preached a great sermon to me the other day at my house on the Sabbath, but look at him out there working on his car on the Sabbath day. He's going to the grocery store just doing mundane things. You see? There's a big difference, isn't it? Well, this text continues in James. Let's take a look. James 1, 23 through 25. On the PowerPoint it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I've found this to be true. Once I started keeping the Sabbath, the blessings just poured out. And it wasn't just the Sabbath, but that's a step in the right direction. See, each little thing, it might be something different for somebody else. It might be something completely different. But I felt like I had a relationship with God. But once I started doing what He was really asking me to do, the depth of that relationship, just, it's exponential. I can't explain how fast it grows and how deep those roots go. You know, it is easy to look in the mirror, you know, check your teeth, there's nothing in them, I'm good. And walk away and forget about it, and then you eat something, and you don't look in the mirror, and you've got something stuck right here. And until somebody points it out to you and says, "Hey, brother, you know, you've got something in your tooth." Well, I can't see it unless I look in a mirror. And that's what the law does. It lets me look in that mirror and see who I really am. It's supposed to show that to me. So back to the 119th Psalm. Let's pick it up in verse 35. It says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." He's not saying force me to do something I don't want to do. Of course, sometimes I wish God would force me to do the things that He wants me to do that I don't want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? Have you ever felt that way? God, just make me do that. It's just hard for me. And it's because of selfishness. It's because I want to do what I want to do. I delight in it, it says, delighting in the commandments. And in this sense, this word delight, remember before we talked about the word delight in verse 24 meant enjoyment and pleasure. But here, the context in this word delight, the definition was to desire to do it, to want to do it, not just have pleasure in it, but to want to do it. So verse 36 says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and receive me in your way. Again, in your way, the truth, the life. Looking at worthless things, what would that be? What would that be? Stuff that we see on TV? Maybe some of the programming we watch? You know, sometimes what we hear has a huge impact on us, what we listen to. Because we don't usually watch something without hearing it as well. I mean, we might read it on the screen, but usually when we're watching something, when we see it, we're also listening as well. What if a man has roving eyes and he likes pretty women? I don't know of any man that doesn't like pretty women. It's been put into man. But what do we do with that? Do we keep looking? Do we look around? Or are we focused enough on God's word that when we see a beautiful woman, we recognize it and we just go on? No thoughts, no impure thoughts. I never thought I could get there. Just like I never thought I could get to where I wouldn't say a foul word. I never thought that would happen. And I've told you this before. A man told me, you'll get to the point to where you won't even think about it. I laughed at him. I said, that's impossible. How am I not going to think about it? Guess what? It happened. It's pretty amazing. Just like the illustration, Mary, that Brother Linford used about telling the kid, here's that glass of juice. I'm going to set it on the counter. Don't drink it. Well, don't even want it. Now I want that juice. But we can get there. We can. It is possible. Not in ourselves, but by drawing ever closer to God. So verse 37, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and receive me in your way. Worthless things can be material things too. It can make us want to have something and work for it. And really it's worthless. It's worthless. Establish your word in verse 38. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. And it's not talking about having a terror of God. It's talking about displeasing him. I don't want to displease God. I'm devoted to fearing him, to wanting to please. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Revive me in your righteousness. Who is the righteousness of God? It's Jesus Christ. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Jehovah, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. That was the scripture reading for today. I will delight myself in your commandments. You know, when we first start looking at those commandments, they might seem kind of restrictive. Verse 48 says, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. It means I'll think about them. Just once in a while, just here and there, Or as we talked about before, when you lie down and when you get up and when you walk along the road, this is what we're to do with our children. So that means if we're instilling that in our children, what are we doing? We're instilling it in ourselves as well. I want you to take a look at the 40th Psalm here. I've got it on the PowerPoint, so you don't have to turn there. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. The whole gospel. Isn't that right? The law within our hearts, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the overcoming of sin, the pushing all of these things, keeping our eyes focused on Christ and not on things of the world. We just read that verse that was talking about our eyes looking at worthless things. If we're focused on Christ, how could we see anything worthless? The highest value in the universe is the value that God put on giving us His Son. There's nothing of greater value than that. So if we focus on Him, just think of what that does. Let's just consider a few more verses here in Psalm 119. Verse 49, remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Jehovah, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. I remember your name in the night. What happens at night? We go to sleep. We're conscious, but we're not aware of what's going on around us. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and couldn't sleep? Do you think about God's name? Do you think about His law? Or do you worry about all the things you've got to do tomorrow? Oh man, I've got to get this done. I've got to get that. That's what keeps you up. The worries are what keep you up. But if you focus on God's word, you can get a good night's sleep. It's pretty amazing. And I'm not saying that when you read the Bible, it's going to put you to sleep. That's not what I'm saying. But you can find rest. You can find peace. Even in this world we live in. Verse 57. You are my portion, O Jehovah. I have said that I would keep your words. I got on my knees one night and I prayed that. Father, I'm going to keep your commandments. And the devil tested me the very next day. How do you deal with that? When you tell God, I'm going to do this for you, what do you do? Do you do that for Him? Or do you say, well, He'll understand this one time. That's why Jesus came and died for me, so that I could do these things that I want to do, and He'll forgive me. What does that do? That cheapens the relationship. You just destroyed it. You are my portion, in verse 57, O Jehovah. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. I wish I could say that. I put it off for a decade. I don't know if those years were wasted because our life experience is what puts us where we are. And having experienced what I experienced, I don't recommend anybody to do that. If you know God's law, do it. If you know what He wants for you, do it. Don't put it off. That's not what I'm suggesting. But because of my stubbornness, God took a bad situation and made the best of it. And I learned things that I wouldn't have learned otherwise. It allowed me to be able to do the things in ministry that I'm able to do today. So He took that my stupidity and my stubbornness and made the best. It's kind of like somebody that ends up, he knows what he's doing is wrong, he commits a crime, he goes to prison, he spends 10 years in prison, and instead of just laying around being a bum, what's he do? He starts studying, he starts reading, he starts learning. He comes out with a degree and realizes, I've wasted these years of my life, I'm going to make the best of my life now. Looking at it from a worldly perspective. Turned his life around, got an education with those 10 years. He wouldn't recommend doing it that way, but in his life, that was probably the best thing that could have happened to him. Otherwise, he might have ended up dead. So for me in my life, I think that going through that process gave me more of an appreciation for God's commandments and his laws and what he requires of us. He'll make the best of a bad situation. We always have to suffer the consequences of whatever we do. Don't forget that. There are consequences. So as it says in verse 60, this is the recommendation right from God's word. The psalmist says, I made haste. In other words, I was in a hurry and I did not delay to keep your commandments. Don't delay, friends. Don't delay. If there's something holding you back, get it out of the way. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. I have not forgotten it. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Anybody get up at midnight to give thanks to God? Most of us are probably out like a light. Verse 63, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Jehovah, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Teach me. I made a little list here about learning Jehovah's law, learning about him. And I've asked this question. I wanted to wrap this sermon up this way because I've asked this question a number of times and I've covered a couple. I've asked the question, what would the world look like if everyone kept the commandments of God? If they just kept the commandments. And I've answered a few of them. But this morning I woke up, I got up, I actually slept in this morning. I got up a little after 6. I laid there for a little while. And I got out of bed a little before 7. And I was thinking about this. And I said, you know, I'm going to make some notes. So I've got a little outline here. The first commandment. If everyone would keep the first commandment, everyone would be worshiping the one true God. There would be no error in what God we worship. If everyone were to keep the second commandment, there would be no idolatry. So money wouldn't be in front of anything that would keep me from worshiping my God. My job, food would have its appropriate place. Isn't that true? Because can't food become an idol? It can. Sports. Sports as we know them, if everyone were keeping God's commandments, would likely not exist. You say, well, come on, man. I love my football. I love my baseball. Whatever the sport, hockey, whatever it is. Well, I believe that according to what the Bible teaches, sports as we understand them today, competitive sports would not exist, I believe, according to the Bible. Because what's it all about? Beating down the opponent. Putting them in their place. Winning the game. Isn't that true? I'm not saying we won't throw a frisbee around, we won't throw a ball around, we won't. I'm saying sports as we know it. I believe we'll have fun activities in God's kingdom. I want to be having fun, playing games, but competing. What does the competition do? It causes thoughts in our minds. I'll be honest, when I play a game, I don't play it just to play. I play to win. Should I be that way? If all of the world were keeping God's commandments, they would keep the third commandment, and Jehovah's name would be glorified in the earth. It wouldn't be blasphemed. The name Jesus wouldn't be looked down upon like it is by many people. They would know the relationship between Jesus and his Father. They would understand that. If everyone were keeping the commandments, all of the stores would be closed today. You wouldn't hear the lawnmowers or the weed eaters running like I could hear during Sabbath school. There wouldn't be yard sales, auctions. There wouldn't be sports events because people would be resting and glorifying the Creator of the universe. They would be spending time with their family, quality time with friends, spending time appreciating nature and creation. It looks totally different, doesn't it, when you keep the commandments of God? All parents would be treated honorably. Can you imagine that? All parents treated honorably. How do people treat their parents today? I think most of the people I know respect their parents and treat them kindly, but some people, they don't treat their parents in a loving way. There might be tension between parents and their children, but you still have to treat them in an honorable way. If we kept the sixth commandment, the whole world kept it, human life would be sacred. There would be no abortions, which is murder. There would be no war. There would be no weapons. You don't need them. Keeping the commandments does away with weapons. Pretty amazing. If everyone were to keep the commandments, marriage would be honorable. There would be no cheating spouses. The divorce rate would go away. There would be no sexually transmitted diseases from people going around from one to the next. All of this stuff is eliminated. If we were to keep the eighth commandment, there would be no theft. People would be giving to one another rather than stealing from one another. If the whole world were to keep the commandments of God, to keep God's law, people would be honest in all things, not just the big things. We talked about the little sins in Sabbath school. There are no little sins, right? We tend to categorize them. That's a human making. So we would be honest in all things. There would be no deception. Remember I said when we turn on the news, you don't know who to believe because one's telling you one thing, one's telling you the other. There's probably a deception in both camps. So instead of CNN, we would have GNN, the Good News Network. And the 10th commandment, people would be content in all things. There will be no selfishness, no jealousy, no materialism, no drug abuse, no alcoholism, because we're content. We're not wanting that juice on the table. You see, what would the world be like if we just kept, you know, if we did? If we were doing these things, if people on the earth were doing these things, Jesus would have already come. He could have. He wants to save everyone. Time is running short. He's not going to wait forever. Time is getting close. I believe it's drawing ever closer. And if people can't look around the world and see that something is wrong, that things are stirring, that God is trying to get their attention, if people aren't seeing that, then they're blind, or they just don't believe there's a God whatsoever. And that's the problem. We're living in a godless society for the most part. Please turn with me for our final scripture, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. And this is a text that all of us are very familiar with. Revelation 22, and I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." So in other words, whatever our lifestyle is, We're going to be rewarded accordingly, whatever it is. Verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So let me ask you, does that say, blessed are those who will keep the commandments in the new world? Blessed are those who will keep the commandments after Jesus comes? No. He's coming quickly. And what it's saying is, blessed are those who are doing those things now. And if I'm putting it off, what's going to happen? How many times have you guys heard me say in Sabbath school, you know, if I'm sitting there with something filthy in my hand, like a magazine that I shouldn't be looking at, and a cigarette hanging out of my mouth, and I'm killing myself through smoking, and when Jesus comes, is he going to flick that cigarette out of my mouth and knock that magazine out of my hand and say, come on, Mark, you're coming with me. I'm here to save you. No, because I'm not keeping the law. I don't have it in here. And because it's not here, it's reflecting out here. You see, so for anyone who believes that the change comes when Christ comes, no, the change has to come before he comes. We have to be changed. Our character has to be changed now, today, before Jesus Christ comes. Because if he comes, and I've been rejecting him all of this time, if he would have come during that 10-year period where I was saying, well, you know, I believe the Sabbath, but I'm not willing to keep it, I wouldn't have been safe to save, would I? Because I would have been ranting around in heaven, breaking the Sabbath, and on the new earth too. And to say that, well, he would have taken that from you, well, that's not my choice then at that part. He's taken my choice from me. If I choose not to give up a particular vice and to hang on to it rather than to follow Christ, then he's forcing me to do what he wants me to do. And remember, he doesn't say, I come and beat down the door. He says, I stand at the door and knock. So I hope that you will take delight in God's law and that you can hear Jesus knocking on the door of your heart.
So friends, that was it. I appreciate you tuning in and listening to that sermon. Again, it was called Taking Delight in God's Law, and I gave that back in June of this year, 2020, and hopefully you received a blessing from it. Now, once again, I just want to remind you, because tomorrow night, which this actual original broadcast is taking place September 27th of 2020 of this program, tomorrow night, September 28th, this whole week, Monday through Saturday, please tune in to the program, prophecyhope.com. You can live stream a Bible prophecy series that I really think you'll enjoy. And we hope to have lots of people watching. Also, if you like, when you watch that series, there are handouts each night. And if you'd like a copy of one of those handouts, please email us. And I've been thinking about trying to find a way to put them on the website in a digital format so that you can download them, print them yourself. You can take the little quiz in the back. You can mail those to us. We actually look at those individually, and then we send you the next study guide if that's something you're interested in doing. But just please take the opportunity to tune in. And also, they will be archived on the website. But it's just so much nicer when I get that count and I see that a lot of people are tuned in. It's really motivating to me and encouraging to me when I know people are watching us while we're doing it. And there's nothing like getting a blessing. You know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them. And we can be gathered on the air. It doesn't matter whether we're in the same room or whether we're talking as we are now. And it just can be very encouraging. So I hope you'll check back with us next week. I'm not sure yet if the program will be live or if we will have an archived program. It depends on what the week brings and how tired we are and how much work we have to do once everything is finished. But let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sign off. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your word, for your law, for the law of love that you've given us, and the fact that Jesus taught us, he taught us that we have to love you and we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Father, we just pray that each one of us can take this counsel to heart and that we can treat you with the love and respect that you deserve. And Father, that we can treat one another with the same love and respect that we ourselves want. So we ask for your blessing to be upon us until we meet again. Father, we pray that each and every person that's listening to this will receive a blessing this week and be kept safe until we come together again. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope to see you next week. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.